From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
Martin! Martin!
The revolt in Egypt may be drawing more than 250,000 people to central Cairo, the largest turnout yet in the two-week-old uprising to oust President Hosni Mubarak. So large, in fact, that J.J. Sutherland says the crowds are seen stretching far beyond the perimeters of Cairo's main square.
Tahrir is so crowded, but people are getting plugged into each other and organized themselves slightly. So what's interesting is the crowd, for the most part, is fairly leaderless. This seems to be very much an organic movement of people from one place to another that, you know, someone told someone who told someone, and they told two friends, and they told two friends.
NPR's J.J. Sutherland reporting. A lot of these people inspired by Wael Ghanim, the 30-year-old Google marketing manager, detained for 12 days after he helped organize the online campaign that triggered the first protest. Today, Ghanim was greeted by cheers and applause in Tahrir Square when he urged the people to stay the course until President Mubarak resigned. President Obama will send his budget to Congress on Monday. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports the proposal includes a plan to help states with heavy debt burdens.
Many states have taken out loans from the federal government to help pay unemployment benefits. As the bills come due, states are raising taxes on employers to repay those loans. President Obama wants to freeze the state's interest payments to the federal government and the employer tax increases. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says it'll give states that are in trouble some breathing room.
Let's, in states that are overdrawn on this, ensure that we don't place an extra burden on them. Let's give them some time in an economic downturn to have what they need to effectively meet the needs of those that are unemployed.
The proposed freeze would last 2 years, with a jump scheduled to begin in 2014. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
Federal investigators looking into sudden acceleration in Toyota vehicles say so far there's been no evidence that the problems were the result of an electronic glitch. We have the latest from WDET's Jerome Vaughn.
The U.S. government opened the investigation last year after Toyota owners reported incidents where vehicles suddenly accelerated, seemingly with no cause. The automaker blamed the problem on floor mats and sticky accelerator pedals, but questions about the source of the problem persisted. Engineers and scientists from NASA helped conduct the investigation. They found no problems with the electronic throttle control systems. Toyota has recalled millions of vehicles worldwide since late 2009 to deal with safety issues. The attention surrounding the problem has cut into the automaker's sales. Toyota is now installing brake override systems on all of its new models. The additional safety feature cuts engine power whenever the brake pedal is pressed. For NPR News, I'm Jerome Vaughn in Detroit.
Before the close on Wall Street, Dow was up 70 at 12,233. This is NPR. The government reports that job openings are down for a second month. Labor Department said employers posted 140,000 fewer positions in December. That yielded just over 3 million jobs posted at the end of 2010. More than 1,400 firearms have been registered with Washington, D.C. police since the ban on handguns was lifted more than 2 years ago. As NPR's Jamie Terabay tells us, the numbers are highest in some of the district's wealthiest areas.
The Washington Post pored over the numbers and found that the 216 zip code, home to the rich northwest part of the district, registered 151 firearms from June 2008 to the end of 2010. That's more than 10% of the citywide gun total. Nearly 300 were registered in the parts of D.C. that are high income and low crime, places such as Georgetown and Chevy Chase. Ward 8, the poorest, most crime-ridden area, registered only 240 guns for almost 52,000 households. The Post reports the numbers reflect economic costs as much as anything else. Basic guns cost hundreds of dollars, and that's not something everyone can afford in difficult economic times. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, Washington.
19th century beer may turn out to be the brew of a lifetime. A group of Finnish scientists hopes to find the answer when it studies the makeup of dark foamy ale it salvaged from a shipwreck in the Baltic Sea back in July. A spokeswoman says the team's really interested in the kind of yeast used because she says its role in beer brewing wasn't fully understood in the early 1800s. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.